CliffCentral.com.
Back, we're live. It's happening. It's a Wednesday morning. It's the 24th of May, almost the middle of the year, and that's a big deal. It's a big deal to people like me because once we hit that, we know we're on the way back to summer.
Yes,
we're still on the rotten side of it. You know, we still got a couple of weeks. I think what is it? Winter solstice is the 21st of June.
Wow, that's almost a month away.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of weeks, and then, you know, we're over the hump. Then it gets better. From there on, it just gets better. Better, better, better. Your life is going to get a whole lot better.
So you're better, which is good.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Did you just sleep in until quite late yesterday? Did you,
no, you know what
make
happens?
The most of your time off?
Amanda knows this. We were talking about it just a second ago. A lot of people reckon a migraine is just like a normal headache. And it's a totally different thing. It messes up your senses. It messes up your ability to, like, you can't figure out what's going on in the world. It's a disaster, right, Amanda? Help me out with this
one. It is. Yeah, and, like, you can't even drive. You can barely walk. Sometimes people,
you can't,
like,
talk. You sound like you're,
sometimes people vomit and, like, yeah, it's terrible.
You see triple, double. Then everything,
like, little dots.
Little dots everywhere. Yeah.
It's like you're buffering as a human.
What's going on, Mubs?
She just smashed a
computer. Computer's having a migraine.
Yeah, she just hit her computer really hard. What happened, Mavs?
It's not working.
Do you want to talk to someone about this? Do you want some professional help?
It's not working.
I had that all of yesterday, and
what
I came.
Just yeah.
I actually went home with my broken computer, so I didn't do that in public.
No,
but it looks so rewarding. I wish
it's like you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to beat your kids in public because then other parents will have a problem with you.
Sorry, so you can't walk or talk?
You just get to a point where sometimes, ugh.
Yeah, I sort of shut down like your computer did. You can't do anything. And then you're useless to society, and I could just feel it coming on. That's when I messaged you guys at like 5:30, because I thought, I could probably beat this. I've got some medicine I take. And then it didn't work, and I thought, oh no, all right. I better just let you know I'm not coming, because you can't just snap out of it, you know? It's like you take a couple of Miprodols and you'll be fine.
You know what Pumi was telling me, who does Womandla?
Mm.
Because she used to have problems with migraines.
Yeah?
And she said she was advised to change the curtains in her bedroom.
Hmm.
Get those curtains that virtually black out everything.
You all
know,
light.
You know, yeah, the kind of curtains that you find in a hotel?
Especially in a casino hotel, yeah. Mm.
Because apparently over time, the way that the sunlight penetrates through your bedroom window apparently has an impact for people who do suffer from migraines.
Well, no fear of that for me, because the sun is never up before I am.
This is what I said to her, but she said it's an overtime thing. So, on a weekend, for example, when that sun is penetrating through, that is something that will have an impact.
I must talk to her about that. Maybe there's something I can do.
She explained it better than I'm doing right now as well.
Okay.
And she said that that's what she did, and it's helped.
Hmm. I haven't had one for a long time, so I was annoyed that it suddenly came back. But, you know, you sort of wait for it. It's almost like, you know, you debit orders. You look at them and you're like, I know it's going to come. Just a matter of time.
It's not going to be pleasant.
No.
But you just have to grin.
The only difference is that unlike a debit order, this stuff doesn't it doesn't have a routine. It doesn't have a clock. It just happens when it happens. And luckily, it doesn't happen all that often.
Well, they say there's a new cure for it. Apparently, it's like an earring that you get.
Really?
And it, you don't get migraines again, apparently.
But I'll have to look like Alex J, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. But this is what I find so interesting, is that we've managed to do and cure a lot of things, right? That trip us up as humans.
Yes.
But then migraines happen, and it's like the world is just laughing at you. It's like, deal with that. Because even if you had like really strong meds that a doctor has basically given to you, and you've got those in backup, you're still down.
look, anyway, I'm not going to sit and feel sorry for myself. You're gone for about, what, 4 or 5 hours, and then you're okay. You just have a residual headache, which lasts a little while, but then you get over that quickly enough, and then before you know it, you're fine. So you just feel dumb. I mean, I got a lot done yesterday afternoon. Once I'd felt better, I was sitting hammering out emails, sorted out some stuff around the house because I was at home. I had nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I felt like I'd achieved quite a bit by the end of the day. I just have this huge – I don't know where this comes from. You tell me if you have the same thing. If I don't do anything, especially on a weekday, like I can sometimes get away with it on a Sunday. On a Saturday, unacceptable. Every other day of the week, unacceptable. But if I don't do a comprehensive list of things, if I don't have a certain number of tasks, and remember, I've got lists for everything. You've seen my phone. I on my notes application, I keep lists of everything. If I don't do something on a day, and I don't mean just the one thing, it has to be substantial, it has to be productive, I feel such guilt. I can't do it. Since I was, what, 12, 13? Procrastination kills me, and not having done anything with the day. I've got to be able to say to myself when I get to sleep at night, this is what I did. That was dealt with. That's finished. I've sorted that out, made a decision about that. I've moved this around. I got my priorities right. I've arranged appointments for tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. There's got to be a bunch of stuff done. If I don't do it, I feel such intense displeasure and guilt. It's guilt. It's a real guilt thing. I don't know where it comes from. Is it me or is it everybody?
Well, that's a good trait to have because some of us can't slide through the day.
This is what I'm getting at, and I'm still waiting for everybody's answer, but I can't just leave it. I know people who, they will wake up in the morning when they wake up. And I'm talking weekends. I mean, let's not pressure people. Everybody's got, you know, stuff to do during the week. But I'm saying even on a Saturday or a Sunday, I know people who can spend the entire day, they'll walk around in their pajamas, make themselves something to eat. They'll do the stuff they need to do to survive. But the rest of the time, they'll be on their phones, watch a bit of TV. They'll have a shower.
Okay, it's all got to do with what you do and what you have to do in life. If you've got nothing going for you, then you'll probably try to find ways of smoking pot, masturbating, and staying in bed.
Yeah,
if
but,
you've got
but,
a business.
But, I mean, the little part of me is slightly jealous of those people.
Well,
you know what
that's
I mean?
Just not who you are, though. But if you've got things to do, you've got your own business, I don't know, you've got 17 children, it depends on your workload. Your workload for you is something that's just normal. Because you're a business owner.
But some people also have a, you know, they strive for a balance in their lives. So the majority of the time they try to be productive, but then they allow themselves maybe that one day to be completely useless. And that's about balance.
Right. I've got to find that balance because like Vusi Tembekwayo was saying on Monday, I don't know if you guys, because I re-listened to that interview yesterday while I was doing stuff. And he said he doesn't think of work as work. His work is his sustenance. It gives
exactly.
him gives him pleasure. And you know, that we should all have that would be amazing. Everybody does.
It would be amazing.
But Mups, your point though, do you not think that balance, isn't it for those kind of people with active minds and that kind of stuff, balance for them would be reading a book, or it would never be like just vegging around or that kind of stuff. It's still on the same level of what really stimulates you because it's a stimulation thing. Some people feel overly stimulated. That's why they resort to maybe recreational drugs. But the balance in Gareth's case is that he doesn't play sport. He doesn't really like people.
Well, I mean, the point that you make there for me is in Gareth's case, and what I'm saying yeah. is people determine what balance is for them.
Exactly. It's a very personal thing.
And for some people, vegging out once a week is part of their balance because the rest of the time they're just going.
How about you, hyperactive millennial?
Oh, no.
He's balancing right now on his phone.
No.
Are you balancing? How many phones
yeah,
have you got?
You got
there?
A new phone, yeah?
Is that a new phone? Let me see that.
Why are you guys this person?
It's one of these new.
Oh, that's nice. Huh?
No,
it's a new red iPhone.
Nice cover, too. Yeah.
Is it the iPhone 7?
iPhone 7. And wow. It's the product red situation.
That's very nice, Sia.
Well, I'm trying to.
When did you get it? Yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah. So I'm still sort of, no, 2 days ago.
Swapping across.
Exactly. So I'm half using my old one, half using this one.
Was it because of peer pressure from all of us about that other phone?
Actually, no, it wasn't. But when I heard about it, like, I'm a sucker for little United Nations situations, and I heard they were releasing this whole red product.
It has to do with the UN?
Yeah. So, well, it's Jeepers. Bono as well who endorses it, but the entire, have you heard of the red campaign?
Does that mean all of Bono's songs are on then? You can't delete them?
No, it's not what you two did. God,
I will never forgive Apple for that, ever. Those bastards.
That was a horrible move.
What a horrible move. It still comes up every now and then. I've tried to delete it from every device I have, but every, I don't know, couple of months, suddenly, like a migraine, that U2 album that we no one asked for is on their phone.
It was actually very disrespectful of them to do that.
Ugh.
I don't know what they were thinking, but like the people who sat in the room and signed that off really weren't so smart.
Well, they didn't care about us. Well, they never loved us.
So the Red Campaign, it's all just about like these products, and a percentage goes towards fighting HIV and AIDS in Africa. Mm-hmm. So they go like with these different taglines, like inspired. You see how there's red in that word.
Inspired.
And uncensored, and there's red in that word, or desired, and there's red in that word. So they've teamed up with Apple, and now like a proceed, like a percentage of the phone will go to fighting HIV and AIDS.
All right.
Listen, I'm not calling myself Mother Teresa. I just thought I have a cool red phone and no one else has it. So.
No, so it's not just the aesthetics though. I mean, there's more meaning to this. Like with a lot with Sia, there's always a bit of depth if you just scratch a little at the surface.
But listen, let me walk around and I will probably not find anyone else who has another red phone.
Oh, so. No. It is. Like, I looked at that and straight away I was like, wow, that's different.
It is different. Very nice.
There must be a story behind that.
And look where we've just come from.
Yeah. Look at that, 5 minutes later.
Thank you guys for giving me so much depth into my life.
Can we talk about some of the stuff that I missed yesterday? I mean, this Manchester situation, that was something I woke up to as well. I can't help thinking that contributed to my migraine because we now see ISIS has claimed responsibility.
Do you think they really did do it? Or I just think ISIS will climb onto anything just to scare people even more.
I don't, you know, you might be onto something here, but I just wish people in the news media would stop trying to pussyfoot around this shit and stop calling it an incident.
No, they called it a terror attack.
They did?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, I was looking at some different news media then, because I was on my phone, and not great. Very annoying. Are we going to talk to Debbie Droke? Are we going to speak to her in Washington?
Yes, around 6:30.
Oh, perfect.
Yes.
But we usually do news at 6:30.
Okay, before 6:30.
Yeah, that would be better. Yeah, okay. Try it like somewhere in the next 2-3 minutes if it doesn't kill anybody.
Okay.
That would be good. All right. Remember, for her, it is midnight.
Yep.
Yeah, so
does she always just stay up for us?
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll ask her what's going on, because the whole family are there.
I think the whole family stays up on Donald watch just in case he comes around and they can shoot him. Yeah,
he's out of the country at the moment.
Right, it's your shift. Okay.
I don't know if you saw those pictures of Donald Trump at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And it's got him like he's standing in front of the Wailing Wall being respectful, and the caption is, man, this guy really loves walls.
Donald must keep traveling. The memes have been so good.
This president. Oh, Mabali sent me the best picture in the world yesterday. There was a picture of the Saudi king and Donald Trump and some other dude holding some glowing orb.
Yeah.
It looks like they're on a movie set.
And Mabali sent me a picture where they'd photoshopped Saruman from Lord of the Rings into the picture. And
so odd.
It's the funniest thing, but it doesn't even look weird. It looks like perfectly normal.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, the Saudi king. I mean, you've got these three freaks in nature. Saruman, who's a fictional character, and the other two who should be fictional characters. I mean, the Saudi king is like, yeah, he's all bedecked in the Saudi stuff, and you got Donald with that stupid hair. It's just the most ridiculous picture I've ever seen in my life. One of the other things we've got to talk about in a little while is this illegal mining that you guys started talking about yesterday, which apparently everybody's fascinated by, these Zamazamas.
Yeah, I got a message from a listener. I don't know if you want to stay anonymous or not, but he was saying his dad's been working in the mines, and these guys are like shadows.
Mm.
They're in the illegal mines. They're in the legal mines.
Mm.
And it's such a massive operation. As in, like, it's not just guys going down there with spades. Mm. It's well orchestrated. There's proper mine managers. There's the whole like industry is involved in this.
Well, you must remember there are a lot of people in this country actually very skilled in that department. So,
sure.
And they don't all have work now. So if you could find a job doing it illegally,
but it's
probably
just,
take it on, take your skills with you.
It's so hectic because you've got the sort of migrant workers as well, and it's so competitive down there that people just get killed. Simple as that.
I want to go to Debbie Droke, who's our Washington Bureau Chief. That's what we're going to call her from now on. And let's go and speak to her.
Oh, she's, my God.
Oh, my God. You're our Washington Bureau Chief, whether you like it or not. Hey, morning, Deb. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Good morning, South Africa. Okay, wait a minute. Before we begin, Cliff, Ben, I have to talk to you.
To Ben. Okay. Go for it.
Yes. Masturbating, smoking pot, lying in bed watching TV. That sounds like a great Sunday morning for me.
Yes, Debbie. Yes.
I was referring to Monday to Friday.
What the hell
is
wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
Deb, have you got the whole family there?
Yes. Oh, my God. Polly came home to go back out to party. Bill is here. Daniela is here. Everybody's here.
All right, so the whole Droke family. Now, listen, you lot, I need to find out from you. Your president is doing his first international trip. Does that mean Washington feels a little safer without him in it?
That's why I'm going out to party on a weekend. I know it's safe.
Hey, Polly. All right, so you guys are obviously thrilled that he's out of the country, so he can't do any real damage while he's there. He's busy.
And you know, he took the whole freaking White House with him because everyone's afraid to leave him alone. So, yeah, it's pretty empty.
What?
No, seriously, out of sight, out of mind. They were afraid he'd go to get to Saudi Arabia or Israel, and they're all their asses would be fired. So everybody was on Air Force One.
Well, he took his family as well. He always takes the whole goddamn lot. He thinks this is a big. This is a family holiday, this whole thing in the White House. He's got Ivanka there the whole time. He's got Jared. I mean, it's crazy.
No, he thinks he's a monarch. That's the problem.
Yeah. Nobody's really taking... Listen, how's the mood in Washington? I ask you this every time because I just love that place. And Deb, you know, you introduced me to it, and I kind of feel like you're my Washington connection. There's something about that city that makes it a world city, and yet at the same time it is so political. Everything about it is so political. There's more going on in the restaurants and the hotels and the there's an undercurrent that it's very difficult to read if you're not a Washington resident.
It's incredibly political. When the everyone thought that Hillary was going to win, Trump Towers, and nobody was touching it. Now everybody wants to be, we're not Trump Towers, the Trump Hotel here in here in D.C. Everybody wants to be there, and they feel like all the diplomats stay there. They feel that, you know, when they go and see the president, they'll tell them, I'm staying at your hotel, that, you know, that'll be an extra benefit.
Yeah.
It's very political, very, very political.
I heard go ahead.
Sorry, yeah. One of the things that's really cool about this area is there's a profound level of cultural acceptance, even regardless of who's in the White House. Like, we kind of live in this bubble where, like, we can sit at a table with a Sikh and a Muslim and a Jewish person and a Christian person, and, like, we're talking about the coffee. We're not talking about the context of where we've come from. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even though the climate's a bit different, who's in the White House doesn't change the cultural acceptance that we have.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think that it was. I mean, I work in the city every day. Yeah. I don't think that since he's taken office, there's an undercurrent of just tension and fear.
Yeah,
and like it's palpable. It's really disconcerting, actually.
Well, I hope it doesn't stay like that. I mean, a lot of people are starting to say because of what the guy's doing and saying and the way that he's behaving, he's not going to make it to the end of the year as president. They're going to impeach this guy.
I don't think he is.
He's getting himself into such trouble, right?
He really is. Daniela keeps on thinking because, you know, the Republicans are in power, that they're going to try to do whatever they can. And what gets me is that these Republicans are acting like Republicans and not Americans. The Trump administration has broken so many laws right now, so many. It's ridiculous.
They investigated Benghazi like 18 times.
Yeah.
And there's clear collusion with a foreign government, and they're not even going after. It's crazy.
Well, I think with this special prosecutor, I think that, you know, and the other thing is when you go after the FBI, like what he did with Comey, I mean, they are so upset with this, the FBI. And you start messing around with our intelligence. Mm. This is how Nixon went down.
Yes.
And I mean, you're a history buff, you know, Gareth, this is, you don't screw with intelligence agencies. They are going to get him. And this whole thing with Flynn, like Bill is, you know, freaking out, a military man, General Flynn.
Three-star general behaving the way he does.
I mean, he should be, you know, burned at the cross, according to us. They should get rid of his pension. He should be thrown in jail. He's treason. He's committed treason.
I think he's a convenient scapegoat. I don't think that it ends with Flynn. I think it's ridiculous.
Mm. Well, maybe so, but at least it begins with something, you know?
Well, Comey is going to appear before Congress next week.
So in public.
In public, so we'll hear some stuff, no doubt.
I can't wait. This is like, get the popcorn. You know, like, just get the freaking popcorn. It's better than fiction.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's really amazing.
By the way, I've got to say, you all sound way better than half of the telephone calls we take from 5 minutes down the road. This is like,
I know.
Like the best line.
Thank God, right?
I can hear all of you perfectly clearly. I can't even hear one of my callers perfectly clearly. So it's madness. have you heard about our president? I mean, are you guys hearing what's going on over here?
Well, you know, I hear about it. And again, like I said last time, the business I'm in, I'm kind of glad that Americans don't listen to a lot of what's going on in South Africa. But so what does Mr. Zuma have done now? What is he up to?
Jesus.
I know he just... He did the whole treasury thing, right?
He's like your president, except he's been doing it a little bit longer, so he's even more brazen. He doesn't give a damn about it.
To get some suggestions, right?
Well, I think they probably are talking because they're both friends with Vlad in Russia, and he's the one who's giving them all the tips. I mean, I really think that this Vladimir Putin guy, these Russians, you know, you remember the Cold War. Debbie and Bill, you guys were in Berlin when the wall came down.
And you're going to be there next month. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
now,
I do.
Our whole family was there.
Right, and you guys will know the Russians were enemy number one. It was un-American to be pro-Russia. And now you got a president who even people in the Republican Party, I was reading the other day that Paul Ryan was joking about, well, he says he was joking, about a meeting which was recorded where they actually said the words, Trump is on the Russians' payroll.
Exactly.
Isn't that the most un-American behavior you could imagine?
It is an America, you know, and again, Bill and I are older. These, you know, that, you know, you all are younger. You don't remember my children don't remember what it was like, but this is so un-American. It was always us against the Russians. And, you know, I mean, Bill and I went to Russia in September of last year. And I was expecting everything to be in black and white, almost like living in Berlin during the occupation, remembering the Cuban Missile Crisis. I'm really aging myself here. With Khrushchev and my dad with the B-52 bombers taking off, you know. So, I mean, I actually loved Russia. I hate their politics, but I loved Russia.
Mm.
And it was beautiful. Yeah, but the politics and what's going on, I just can't wait to see how this all plays out.
I mean,
because
this is the new Cold War.
It is the new Cold War.
It's the new Cold War, and with Putin in power, there's no real election. It's so rigged. It's so set up for him to be successful, but he's able to exploit democracy to a point that he's winning the new Cold War.
Yeah, but they're also they're interfering everywhere they can. I mean, they're interfering in European politics. They're interfering here in South Africa.
Luckily, France was hit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Thank God France was hit.
Thank God France, you know, had their act together. It really Putin is a very smart man. It's the new technology for the Cold War.
Yeah, but they're still French. I mean.
yeah. You guys don't particularly like them. I understand. All right, listen.
Oh my God!
Listen, we got to get to the news, but always good to talk to you. What else do you want to throw in there, Debbie?
The big news here, Garrett. The big news here: The Bachelorette is back on.
Oh my God!
I mean, that is some good news stuff.
And that, in a nutshell, the census of America.
Garrett, yeah,
there we go.
Garrett,
buddy. All right, love you guys. Thank you so much. The Bachelorette is back on.
Yes.
Wow.
That show has been running for about 800 million seasons at this point.
Goodness. People can't get enough of it.
Still a big show.
I was reading an article about one of the execs of the channel who speaks about the fact that they thought The Bachelor would only last for a couple of seasons.
Mm.
But now he explains a bit of the phenomenon being the fact that, you know, there's now The Bachelorette, and then it's like a soapy, because they pick a contestant from last season and people want to see how they evolve. And now they have their first Bachelorette of color. So now people are like, my gosh, right. It's crazy.
Very exciting. Let's get into the news, because there's more stuff to talk about. We didn't even scrape the surface. There's things that we need to get into. Brian Molefe, the potential of a Zuma recall this weekend. Have you heard about this?
Oh, sounds like an old story.
Well, at this stage, we'll take an old story.
Backbones don't grow in this climate, though. They just don't. We've seen it.
We'll have to wait and see, Ben. There's a, you know what's a good indicator? Is the Rand. Have you seen what that's been doing? We'll talk to Anthea about that shortly. Get to Ben in the sport. But first, here's Mabali Moloi with the news. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. The V&A, there's a brand new store at the V&A waterfront in Cape Town that's opening in June of Colcacchio's, and there is some comfort food with less carbs on the menu too. The Banting range offering great alternatives for those looking for a low-carb, high-fat option in their pizza. You can do all of that and more. And don't forget that new store opening up in Cape Town. Not too far. It's almost walking distance if you've got a lot of energy. Between the original Colcacchio's store, the first one ever in South Africa, and the one that they're opening up in the V&A waterfront in June. Make sure you check that out at some point. All right, Mubs, what do you got?
Carbs are bad, okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, so the suspected suicide bomber who killed 22 people at a concert in Manchester has been named.
Mm-hmm.
He's been identified as 22-year-old Salman Abedi.
I wonder what religion or culture he might be from.
Abedi was born in Manchester in 1994, so he's also young, hey? He's young. He's a young guy.
This is what people...
Or rather, was a young guy.
People don't talk about this, but a lot of the terrorism is homegrown.
Yep.
In other words, it's not brought in from Pakistan or Syria or Afghanistan or Iraq. This stuff is happening there and then. I mean, an Ariana Grande concert. Could you think of a more kind of sweet, girly, inoffensive? It boggles my mind that there are people so evil, so wrapped up in their own filthy sense of how the world works, that it can blow up a bunch of teenage girls at a concert. How many people died?
22.
Ugh.
So Abedi was born in Manchester in 1994 to parents of Libyan birth. Theresa May confirmed Abedi was born and brought up in Britain. Mm-hmm. His parents immigrated from Libya to London before moving to Manchester, where they have lived for at least 10 years. Police raided a house in the area earlier on Tuesday. A U.S. government source said investigators were looking into whether Abedi had traveled to Libya and whether he had been in touch with Islamic State militants there. The Times newspaper said that Abedi was believed to have returned to Britain from Libya recently. The University of Salford, which is based in Manchester, said in a statement that Abedi was one of its students and the university was helping the police with their investigation. Now, a 23-year-old man was also arrested by police in a separate move in South Manchester in connection with the attack, and it is believed that the 23-year-old man is Abedi's brother. He also has a sister named Jomana Abedi. The spokesperson for the Didsbury Mosque in Manchester. Didsbury Mosque in Manchester, yeah, said that Abedi's father and brother had prayed there, but that Abedi had worshipped at another mosque. He added, "I have managed to track down somebody who knows the family." He confirmed his father and sister and the rest of the family had moved to Libya and had moved there straight after the revolution, after Muammar Gaddafi was killed. So it would seem that Abedi and his brother had been traveling between the two countries since then, because the rest of the family are in Libya.
Yeah, you got to watch these people who want to go back to a shithole like Libya. Mm. What are you going to go and do there? It's not better in any way. There's no aspect of life in Libya right now that could be worse than life in Manchester. So the only reason you would go there is to meet with really unsavory people. And I think if you go to these countries, they shouldn't prevent people from going to these countries, but they should absolutely prevent them from coming back from them. You want to profile people? Profile people who are visiting shitholes, because there's something going on there. If I send you into, and Libya is a shithole right now, it is a war zone. If someone goes to Libya, you've got to ask yourself, use your head. What are you going to Libya for? What are you going to get from Libya? I'll tell you what you're going to get. Instructions how to build a nail bomb. Ugh. That's what you're going to get. Lock the guy up. Put him straight into prison as he comes through customs. You went to Libya, sir. Come and spend some time with us under Her Majesty's Prison Service.
The sad thing is there is no blueprint to be able to identify.
Yes, there is. Here's the blueprint.
Someone can now say, well, I want to go to my homeland or whatever.
If you are a fanatical religious person, mm-hmm, I mean, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, fanatical religious people are the number one people you got to look out for. So look out for the ones in the whole traditional garb. They got to be wearing either all the paraphernalia of that religion, whatever it might be. That's alarm bell number one, because mm-hmm, these people are not. Their focus is not on earth, it's in heaven. Number one, that's dangerous to the rest of us who actually believe life matters. Number two, visiting shitholes. Number three.
I just saw that regulation on an official document.
Visiting shitholes. Here are the following countries would make
you. You're not wrong here at all.
Fight with me. I dare you. I defy you to, because all of these people, that's the blueprint. No one wants to talk about it because it's politically incorrect and culturally insensitive and religiously intolerant and Islamophobic and all of those words that are nonsense. This is a real thing. I do not want a family member of mine blown up by some lunatic. Anybody who does, you're welcome to be as open-minded and the religion of peace. And Libya is also a country. Go for it. Knock yourself out. But do not include the rest of us who actually believe civilization is a real thing, and that countries like that do not believe in civilization. And people who believe in heaven more than they believe in the present are a problem.
Can we just take a look at that pastor who called God from his cell phone? Because that man is crazy.
There's another person.
He's
this
totally
is someone.
Crazy.
If you did that, if you phoned Winnie the Pooh from your cell phone, your parents would say, "We need to have this kid psychoanalyzed." If you're a pastor and you're doing it and you're calling God, perfectly okay. Everybody goes, "Well, that's the kind of mental illness we can all associate ourselves with."
Now, the latest news reports say that the UK have now raised its terrorism threat level to critical, which is the highest level. And apparently this is the first time in a decade that they're doing this. And that is because the Prime Minister Theresa May warned that intelligence services believe that another attack may be imminent.
See, is that to do with the guy, the pastor calling God?
No. No.
Theresa May is like, oh, there's a guy.
Now, just on that,
calling me about God.
There's definitely going to be a ripple effect with this bombing taking place, because now Justin Bieber, after an underwhelming performance here, is on his way to the UK, and fans are saying they don't really feel safe attending it. So they're starting this whole movement.
Yeah, who knows what he's hiding in those tracksuit pants?
Well, not necessarily Justin, but who knows what can happen there. So people are trying to get.
And hasn't
Justin
he just come from a shithole? Didn't he just come from Dubai?
India. He went. Please don't put regulation number two on that.
Ben, is Dubai a shithole?
No. But no, Gareth's never been, so he'll think it
of
is.
Of course I've been to Dubai.
Compared to Libya. Ah.
The airport doesn't count.
I've been to a hotel there as well, but only for one night. In transit. It was enough for me.
It was enough for you.
Oh, gosh.
You see how public events are now going to be a cause
for paranoia?
So they're going
to can, they might can the Bieber shows.
Fans and parents are hoping to. Imagine if you are a, you know, parent of a young child who now wants to go to a concert. I wouldn't feel safe. Hardly I wouldn't even feel safe thing, as myself going to an event.
Do you see why it is not compatible for people who believe in spirits and ghosts and gods and monsters and who have ideas of how the world should look, why those people are not compatible with those of us who just want to get on with our lives
in this world? Yeah,
Mabali always says, and it's the truest thing, is like, you're not allowed to make your shit someone else's shit. That's am I quoting you correctly?
Well, I prefer to use the word problems because I'm trying to sway less.
Okay. So then problems.
Don't make your problems. You're not allowed to make your problems someone else's problems.
And who would disagree with that? But unfortunately, if you've got people who are fanatical, and again, I'm not saying that all people who believe and all people of faith are a problem, but a lot of them are. And we've got to own up to that. And a lot of British Muslims believe in certain stuff that is just not compatible with society. Like that women should be covered from head to toe. It's just, if you think that, then you've got to go to a shithole and live there. You're not allowed to live in a place where women are allowed to walk around in high heels and little pencil skirts, because the rest of us have decided that's acceptable, and the women themselves have decided that's how they want to dress. And who are you to impose your nonsense on them? And if you want to go to a Bieber concert or an Ariana Grande concert, you don't expect to be nail-bombed by someone who believes in an afterlife. Not allowed. If you want to believe in your afterlife and you don't like people who don't believe in the same thing as you, go and live in Libya. It's so fantastic there. You're going to have such a good time being close to Allah. Go to Libya. It's beautiful. Don't come and import your shit into our countries.
You know this whole religious thing? Since January 2015, pray for insert name hashtags you think have gone viral?
Since January?
January 2015.
Mm. Oh, so 2 years. Two years.
Yeah, we're talking religion here. How many pray for hashtags have gone out?
I'm going to guess 275.
21.
Oh.
Oh, it's a lot.
Jeepers, for someone that covers the news.
I was far off there.
No, I'm talking about that. Like, pray for Paris, pray for Manchester. Right. Not like pray for somebody. I'm talking about these terror attacks.
Mm. No. Well, all right. Let's move on.
Yes, let's bring it back home for a second, because the ANC's parliamentary caucus are now calling for the immediate removal of Eskom chief executive Brian Molefe. They say that the board failed to clarify the basis for Molefe's reinstatement when it appeared before Parliament's Public Enterprise Committee yesterday. The party's study group on public enterprises said that it's of the opinion that the Eskom board has total disregard for the principles of good governance.
You're well.
They added that minister...
Do they even know what good governance is? I mean, you claim something you have no concept of.
They added that the minister, Lynn Brown, and the board showed no comprehension of the magnitude of the crisis that they've plunged the power utility into. And the committee's acting chairperson, Zukiswa Ranto, says a parliamentary inquiry will be set up. Because we love those.
I saw a great tweet about this yesterday.
And they bring solutions.
Mm.
I saw a great tweet about this saying that Brian Molefe is just a sophisticated cloudy, and this Lynn Brown is basically Faith Mutambi in HD.
Okay.
Well, you know, our president really knows how to choose a bunch of losers and surround himself with the worst kind of people. It's the worst kind of people.
The best kind for him, though.
Yeah, of course, because they just do what he says.
The best for him.
They have nothing in their brains at all except what he tells them.
The worst thing is when Lynn Brown said, Brian is the only man qualified to lead ESCOM. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Out of how many men and women in SA who are qualified, who can lead ESCOM better?
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely nonsense.
Let's get into some sports, shall we?
Yep.
It's time. Here's Ben with the latest in the sport. All right, Ben, what do you got for us today?
Well, Gareth, there's a lot going on, jeepers, but something came to my attention last week that maybe I've been a little bit harsh on Maria Sharapova.
What?
I've got some messages, and I wanted to kind of clear this up, and I've been lucky enough to actually get Maria to come and chat to us.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
well, there we go. On Skype, Gareth, you got that?
I got it. We're on. There. Yeah. Is this really Maria Sharapova?
Yeah. Maria, thanks so much for joining us today. I know it's just really, really short notice.
Thank you so much.
It's come to my attention that maybe I've been a little bit harsh on you from time to time. Some say a bit mean even. Have I caused any offense, really?
It was a shock to me. I said, how did I not know about this? So I went through this shock, anger, sadness. And then I don't know, something inside of me just went above everything. And I felt like it was almost the process of going through a breakup.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, sorry. I had no idea. I mean, I know you listened to the show, but I didn't realize it was that hard-reaching.
Hurting the woman's feelings, Ben.
Can we go on from here?
I went through all these emotions, and in the end, like, after a little time, I felt really above it. There's some sort of strength in me that just felt really good about things, and I...
Okay. Well, okay. So, no hard feelings, essentially. I mean, that's what I'm getting at here.
Well, one of the things is I learned, like, sometimes you think, it's something so major and that happens to you or is thrown at you, but I don't think we're ever given anything in life that we just cannot handle at all. That's just, it's not, we're always eventually end up handling it.
Wow.
Okay, cool. Well, as they say, the show must go on, even if the show does include endless grunting and moaning, I guess.
Oh, I believe in that saying so much.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's start with the grunting and get on to cricket. Is this something that's basically, I mean, this is just, this, is this you now? I mean, can we just leave this alone because it is you?
It is. It's sad to say that, but I think it really is.
Okay, so you're never, ever going to stop doing it then?
Oh, absolutely not.
But, I mean, you get other players who are playing just as hard as you. I mean, take that Eugenie Bouchard, for instance, okay? She's hitting it as hard as you. She's trying her best, but, I mean, she's not grunting. Do you think maybe this is why she is more of an attractive sort of proposition in tennis nowadays than you?
I never wanted to believe that, but I'm starting to think that.
Okay, just between the two of us, I mean, how hot is she really in real life?
She's up there, that's for sure.
So, like... Anna Kournikova in a prime hot and Eugenie Bouchard, the two of them walk into a room. Who gets more attention?
Oh, I beat them both.
That's pretty funny. Right, in all seriousness,
really opening up.
In all seriousness, though, we need to talk about this ban. Was the time well spent away from the game?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, okay, so tennis obviously is something that's just taken your entire life, so to speak. So did this time away from the court kind of allow you to focus on other things, say, like maybe your love life?
That takes a lot of time. I don't know if I'm good at it.
Come on. I'm sure you got to dish a little bit with us. I mean, give us an idea of what's been happening.
Oh, absolutely not.
Come on. Deep down, we all want to be like you, Maria. So you got to give us a bit more about what your personal life's about.
No, you want to be better than me. You know, like, dream to be even better than I ever was.
Okay, Maria, this isn't just like any other interview. Cut the shit here. Let's get to it. Come on. Is there someone in your life right now?
I do.
Is there? Is there someone? That's really great.
I do.
No,
wow.
You set an example, and that's why I was proud of the fact that I came out and was able to say that.
Okay, look, the reason I'm pushing you on this, because obviously, you know, you've been attracting some sort of unwanted sort of suitors. I mean, I heard even Jeff Kadebe, for instance, was messaging you recently.
It was actually every time I'd receive one of those messages, like, I'd be quite strong and, you know, okay, it's all going well. And then I'd receive one of those messages and I'd just get so emotional.
Yeah, I can imagine what you're going through. You know that him and Bill O'Reilly share a WhatsApp group?
I don't like to ever know that.
Okay. Well, Maria, we're actually out of time. Maybe we can chat a bit more in depth as far as, you know, missing the French Open and that kind of stuff. So we have to leave it off there. Anything else you want to add just before for your fans before we go?
I loved your perspective. I loved the way that you interviewed people. It was very casual. It wasn't, you know, sometimes you hear interviews and it's, there's some sort of mission behind that interview.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, you know, that's
like
not me.
Too, I don't know, it's defensive. And I felt like your interviews were very open and challenged people, but it was a conversation. And I think that's when people really speak about how they feel and their emotions. And I think that's what people want to hear.
Nice.
And,
okay. Sorry, Maria, we've really got to cut you there.
Let me cut her off. All right. There we go.
Thanks.
She's gone.
Okay. So, well, it's all good between us then. So I cannot be held responsible for anymore. Maria and I are cool.
People are not allowed to say that you are not pro Maria Sharapova. There we go. Full interview. I mean, I don't know that we got a huge amount out of her, but well done.
No, you could tell she was nervous. But I mean, she hasn't really done a lot of interviews, so I'm glad that she granted us that time.
Excellent.
But in the Springbok camp, well, they've released the squad, and Alistair Garcia has named 8 new caps and a new captain. So Warren Whiteley is now the 58th captain of the Springboks.
I saw some crap on TV about that yesterday. I saw him going, oh, I've got to sit down with my wife and tell her. He was explaining how he told her that he would be captain. I mean, it's the most dreary story you've ever heard in your life.
The guy to put out cartoons for the kids, to sit her down.
I thought, am I watching the news?
Yes, you're such a dick. You're watching rugby players. This is the biggest moment in his life. This is it. This is his biggest moment. Not yours.
Jeez.
But with Warren Whiteley obviously being the captain, Dwayne Vermeulen is also in the squad. So people are saying, well, again, a BOC captain is picked. He's not the best in his position. So there's obviously some lingering doubts around here. But the loose trio is a bit of a conundrum. Again, Alistair Garcia, it's like it's the same sort of script. They just pick blindside flankers and expect one of them to be an open side flanker. So there's no Chris Clutty in the squad, despite the fact he's been amazing for the Kings. Uncertainty around the spring, around the back line, of course. If Elton Jantjies goes down injured, I'm not entirely sure what they're going to do from there. Frans Steyn is back, which is interesting, but there is none of the old stalwarts like JP Peterson or Brian Abana, but Ruan Kombrick also actually missing out. So he's been given a chance in the SAA team. Obviously, they want to prove his fitness, but Damien Dallinson didn't have to prove shit. He's straight into the box squad. So interesting to see how this goes. But we'll get into that close to the time. Football tonight, the big one, it is Man United versus Ajax, 8:45 South African time. That will be taking place in Sweden, and that is for the Europa League finals. So this is Man United's last chance of getting into the Champions League. And for Ajax, it's their first European finals since 1995. This is the team that was so incredible. And then it's almost like they were just smoking goof for the next couple of decades because they've been nowhere. But this is their big chance of some silverware. This weekend, Arsenal versus Chelsea. Arsenal's big chance of any silverware this season, although it means nothing because winning the FA Cup does not make any difference in Europe. You'll still be playing Europa League next year. The BMW PGA Championship, the sort of marquee event on the European Tour, starts tomorrow. That's a big one. So it's also the start of the 8-event Rolex series where there's just so much money and real big name stars. And one of those events will take place in South Africa. And then finally, Proteas versus England, first ODI today. England, I'm going to kind of say, are maybe favorites for this. I know the Proteas are a really great side. They're ranked number one in the world. But England do have some great stars. And this team has really built a lot in the last 2 years. So that's going to be an absolute humdinger. And that is from today. More sport tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Some exciting stuff to talk about there. And unbelievable, an exclusive Maria Sharapova interview. Who would have guessed? There's a lot going on this morning. Let's cross to Anthea Gardner now for a look at what's happening to our money. There are all kinds of reports going on about the president maybe being recalled by the ANC-NEC this weekend. Who knows? Well, the person who does know is probably Anthea Gardner, so at least she's on the line to help us understand this. She works hard for your money. If you want to know, if you want to know more about hashtag invest, you can go along to the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. More and more people joining up every week. Doing what they got to do to make ends meet. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gary.
Yes. How are you? What's the Rand doing today?
Oh, the Rand is definitely probably the second biggest story in the market at the moment.
Uh-huh.
It went on an absolute tear yesterday. It traded from 1332 all the way to 1302 after that news headline that Zuma's removal is to be raised at the key ANC meeting this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely the Rand indicating Well, I guess just trading positively on some hopeful news, I should say.
Well, let's not count our chickens, because obviously a lot of this is pure rumor and speculation, and we don't necessarily know who the sources are who started all this discussion. It might just be an attempt to unsettle the president rather than unseat him. But there, you said this is the second biggest story, so what's the biggest one?
So the biggest story is that that Moody's has downgraded China's credit rating by one notch from A1. So they're nowhere near junk status, of course. But Moody's have said that they're citing concerns over future growth and the economy-wide increasing debt, which, in fact, the Chinese government have said that they do want to get under control. Moody's are still worried that the combination of growth slowing, the last print I think was 6.7%, and the credit overextension will erode China's financial strength. So Asian markets negatively impacted this morning. China was a bit higher a few minutes ago, but all the other major indices all negative. And so I think that's really what it is. You know, I must admit, I'm almost a little bit embarrassed to say yesterday that the market was, it was a bit subdued, but well, kind of after the Manchester bombings, but actually it just did not react. In fact, I feel like we've all been desensitized to terror attacks. I remember the days when anything happened, we would all drop whatever we were doing, no matter what time of day it was, and we'd run into the office. Nowadays, nothing moves. I mean, gold hardly moved yesterday. It's a crazy situation. And then, so I had a look at the numbers, actually. After 9/11, the market was, first of all, it was closed for a week. And then the following week, when it did open, it was down between 11 and 14%. And I know that's a fairly extreme case. But even after the 7/7 bombings in London in 2005, the market fell between 3 and 4% overall. But airline tourism stocks were all down 8% on the day. Yesterday, the FTSE was down 0.15%. U.S. markets, in fact, closed higher last night. So, yeah, the market... It really has moved more political than anything else, and hopefully the fundamentals of the stock market will always be the underlying driver.
In other words, the market has evolved to cope.
Yes, pretty much. Well, to cope, to become desensitized. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, if frightening as that story is, you know, the show has to go on. Local markets. How did we do yesterday?
Overall, we started the day positive, but then turned negative as the rand strengthened in the afternoon. We managed a flat close. Our rand hedges came under a bit of pressure. So, of course, the resources and the industrial indices closed in the red, except our darling Naspers, which is now officially a 2,800 rand share.
Wow.
And then banks had a really great run yesterday.
Do you
think
it could get to 3,000?
I do, yes. I absolutely do. And I think it'll get there fairly soon, like in the next couple of months.
Sure.
It really is an incredible story right now. It can also come off, you know. Nothing moves up in a straight line. You know the story.
Sure.
And then banks, really good run yesterday. Standard Bank and Nedbank both up 3.5%. We did have Coronation putting out their first half financial year results. Revenue was down 6% to 1.9 billion rand. And we saw a 4% increase in headline earnings per share. So the story with Coronation, they're still seeing outflows of assets under management, even though, and this is a good thing for them, their investment performance has finally started improving. That, you know, they're looking to have turned it around a bit. So perhaps we'll see a delayed reaction. Maybe it will be a turnaround story in the second half of the year. I've seen a couple of research houses saying that it might be time to buy Coronation. The share was up 6% or almost 6% yesterday. But it has come off, you know, it's trading at about 60, 70 rand a share, I think now. And it has come off from a high of about 105, 110 rand, somewhere around there.
All right. Anything else you want to throw in?
And then also Rhodes Food Group released their results yesterday. This is a company I've liked for a while. I've been in and out of it depending on kind of what they're doing. Currently out of it. So they're the business that supply Woolworths with bakery goods and prepackaged foods. And they're doing some interesting stuff in the sector. Results were largely in line with expectations. Yesterday, revenue was up 8% to 2.2 billion rand. And I think the disappointment in the share was really from their international business, which pretty much is a rand hedge play, although only 30% of revenue is generated offshore. But I think that, again, was impacted by the strong rand, which is 11% stronger in the period that they're reporting. And also, they're still working on their consolidation of the Marbaker and the Paco acquisitions they made last year. So they haven't really contributed to the profit line just yet. It's now on a 16 times forward 12-month price earnings ratio, which is about 2 points lower than their historic PE ratio. So maybe it is a time to buy. I need to look at it in more detail before I make.
You haven't given us a buy advisory for some time.
This might be it, eh?
All right.
Either Coronation or Rhodes.
Mm. Exciting.
All right, it Anthea, is exciting.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Have a good day.
Cool. We'll chat to you tomorrow. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot. It is exactly 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. We're here to look after you today to keep you company, to keep things exciting. And you can get hold of us in a number of ways. What is the WhatsApp number, Sia?
079.
Yes.
748.
Yes.
20.
Yes.
90.
Oh, very good.
There you go.
And what is the phone number, Sia?
0861-555-189. Straight, simple, to the point.
And you can also get hold of us on
Skype as well.
Yeah.
Cliff Central.
He knows
like
everything.
A bit of a test.
He knows everything.
What's the latitude and longitude coordinates of the studio?
Ben, if people were on WeChat, can they still use that to communicate with us?
Yes, Gareth.
Sorry, there you are, Ben. Say it again.
Yes, Gareth.
you not a team player?
Oh, very fast.
How many times do I use my microphone off here? I mean,
no. You know what happens is it's the microphone button for you is on the furthest right. So often when I lean on the desk, it switches off. Yeah, it's my fault.
Oh, shit.
All right, but I'll try to be more disciplined about your microphone button, Ben. Okay, we're looking after you this morning. We'll keep you company. Stay with us, cliffcentral.com. Lots more coming in the next hour. Cliffcentral.com.